Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of the Gospel Fuel Podcast. My name is Tanner, and every week on this portion of the podcast, the Midweek Refill, we talk through our reading plan for the year. We're on week 48. So if you're joining us, that's firstfamily.church, and under resources, you can find the reading plan that we're going through. So each week I bring on a leader from our church and we talk through our plan that week. So I got Brett back with the pod or on the pod with us today, and we're going to talk about week 48. So Brett, what do you got for us from week 48?
Esther chapter 4.
Okay.
Classic Bible story from Sunday school.
Sure.
Veggie Tales episode.
Okay.
Mordecai is Esther's uncle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds out that all the Jews are going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit of the context. He's so burdened by that. He's like, Esther might be able to do something about it because she is a part of the kingdom at this point. And so he essentially sends a messenger to her and kind of tells her what's going to happen. And her response is recorded in verse 11. All the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard who has not been summoned. And that's the death penalty. Unless the king extends the gold scepter and allows that person to live, I have not been summoned to appear before the king for the last 30 days. That was her response.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, hey, can you help? Can you basically cash in all your chips to save our people?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she gives him back like the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just so you know, anyone who goes in there dies.
Yeah.
And I love his response when he says, he doesn't say like, oh, okay, sorry. He just says, hey, I believe God so much that if you choose to keep silent, deliverance will come from another place, but you'll be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives just this amazing, a lot of people know this verse, but who knows, perhaps you have come to your position for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
And her reply is really good later down in verse 16. I'll go to the king. If I die, I die.
Hmm.
And so what I love in that exchange, it's done through a messenger. So it's not as clean as maybe what you read in the New Testament where it's just two people talking.
Sure.
But what I love is that neither one of them ever responded with, oh, thanks for that information.
Hmm.
It was always about courage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me and for us, like that, I feel like every time I'm on here, everything I read is like I'm challenged to like, it challenges me to think about how I'm living.
Hmm.
That's what the word of God does in your life. But I felt very challenged. Like, what do I not do and pass off as a lack of knowing? Like, I don't have enough knowledge to do the thing when in reality, I just don't have the courage to do it. I don't know of any issue facing me today that would land in, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time is I know what I should do, but I just don't have the courage to do it. And I think Esther here is just a great example in that she knows what she needs to do, but she knows the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And being willing to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, having someone in your life who is like, look, I know you're waffling on paying the price. And let me just encourage you, like, pay the price.
Yeah. The great picture of Christ we see in Esther, you know, she goes before the king, risking her life, not knowing whether she'll live or die, and knowing that she might die, but if she lives, her people live. Jesus goes before the Father, knowing he's going to get crushed. And he still does it. Like, he didn't risk being killed.
Mm-hmm.
He knew full well, I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to go to the King, and I'm going to be crushed, but my people will live.
Yeah.
So we live because Christ died.
Yeah.
Here we see, you know, Esther lives and the people live. Oh, it's everybody lives. Everybody's happy. But Christ goes in knowing, I'm going to get crushed.
Yeah.
But I'm going to save my people through it. So I think that kind of thing always just makes me think of just like, no matter how much we see Christ in different aspects in scripture, we are a person in scripture or a story in scripture, it's always the shadow, not the substance. Like Christ is a substance. We always see shadows of Christ throughout the Old Testament, especially. So these kind of things just always make me think of that. And then the other thing that stood out to me when you were reading was just you skipped over these verses, but the part where Esther responds and says, "Assemble all the Jews who can be found and fast for me. Don't eat or drink 3 days. We'll all, like me and my female servants, will do the same." And then Mordecai went and did it. And I was just like, I mean, it's a very simple challenge, but I was just like, how many things in my life, in our lives, do we not, let alone fast, mm-hmm. but even like devote to prayer? Like, yeah. Hey, we have this decision to make for our family, or whether we're going to take this job or move this place, or maybe it's not even that big of a thing. And do we like seek the Lord's face? Do we say like these people are fasting for 3 days? Like, now this is a big thing, granted, but like we could fast and seek the Lord's face for a decision we have to make as a family. Like me and my wife could say, "Hey, we're going to fast today. And we're just going to pray. And we're going to, you know, seek the Lord's face on this issue." But it's so like, it's 2025. Do we really fast anymore? Are we commanded to fast? You know? So I think we just, it's a forgotten art of like, hey, we're going to deny ourselves food and we're just going to seek the Lord's face instead. And so I'm just challenged even right now, like just fasting and seeking the Lord's face for things that are maybe not a whole, you know, people's future, and it's not hanging in the balance. Now, granted, but like we have things that are big in our lives and we just say, Hey, Lord, give me some wisdom on that. Like nothing wrong with praying that, but like if that's it, and I'm guilty of this too, like I'll rely on my own strength or my own wisdom, and I'll say a little prayer of like, yeah, Lord, give me some wisdom. This decision, that's about all I do. And now God gave us brains. We can, you know, think and reason and weigh out pros and cons, you know, we can do all that stuff. But too often, I think I myself, at least, just don't seek the Lord's face like I should. And I just let myself, rely on my own strength, my own wisdom.
Yeah. I mean, if that's her counting the cost,
mm-hmm.
and you think about Jesus, like,
yeah,
he's counting the cost in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's probably why I lack courage at times, because my counting the cost is like, takes 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give it like the weight. The most prevalent example is like the people in my life that I know that don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of making, of going ahead and like being rightfully aggressive with them and saying like, hey, what do you believe about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I count that cost very flippantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know, if I do this, then I don't do that. I don't say like, you know what, I'm going to fast for a day and really take it into prayer, mm-hmm. like what I should do with this mm-hmm. person that I care about and they don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that coming out of that, that the level of courage would be much more like Esther or like Christ,
mm-hmm.
To actually pay the price.
Yeah. And I think we just treat it so haphazardly, and I don't think any of us are in danger of over praying over fasting.
Yeah.
Man, I've been spending too much time fasting and praying over my decisions and over, you know, my life and stuff. So I better dial it back. I don't think any of us are in danger of that. But I think you're right. I think God's word says he'll give us wisdom if we ask for it. So we just need to ask, like fervently ask.
Mm-hmm.
And not as someone who doubts, like James, is it James 4 talks about a person who doubts, like ask with full confidence that the wisdom you need, God will give you.
Mm-hmm.
And seek his face fervently for that. I'm preaching to myself here because I'm sure you are too, because we just don't do this well enough.
Not just the wisdom, but the courage.
Yeah.
You know, I think wisdom is knowledge lived, like applied.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like courage.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they have very similar meanings.
But I think you will leave a time of prayer and fasting over something, whether it's a person you need to share Christ with or whether it's a decision to make or whatever. I'm sure you won't leave your prayer and fasting time and be like, I feel less courageous, less wise. Like, I'm sure you'll leave and feel like, let's do this, or I know what I need to do, or whatever. I don't think the Lord is going to just leave you empty-handed when you seek his face fervently.
Yeah.
So we just need to do more of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, a great way to summarize how this passage made me feel, that too often I feel like, I say, I don't know what I should do there, but it's because I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm not spending that time
mm-hmm.
in fervent seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So in my perspective, it feels like I don't know what to do when really it's not about knowledge.
Right.
It's really just that I don't have the courage emboldened by the presence of the Lord to do what I know I need to do.
Yep. That's a good word from the Old Testament, from Esther. Thanks for joining us, Brett. Thanks for sharing. And we will see you next week on the Gospel Fuel Podcast.